You're tuned to Radio Student on 89.3 MHz FM stereo.
În ce prideneș nazai? Ne poate să mostăm un antise două vehodnice, ne. Tom dol să urată pe trei rahame. Ne sprintăm pe frâna ta pe mediu. Patrăm dol să gledăm, să gledăm Madonna în oșor.
Ris.
E bil palnir, mlad, mlad in toti siv, ne ta nemški občajnik, črni batone, prav tista prava volk, ne. Krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa, na Radiu Študent.
Mladi v sieraleonski družbi ne veljajo za kategorijo, ki bi imela kakršnikoli kredibilen politični glas ali pravico do soodločanja o tem, kje je vloga mladih v državi. Nezadovoljstvo in boj proti marginalnem prostoru, v katerega so postavljeni, so v obdobju po neodvisnosti države leta 1961 mladi bili na različne načine. Bitke mladih v Sierra Leone je v vseh ključnih trenutkih vedno spremljala glasba. Prvi večji in vidni upor se je zgodil leta 1977, ko so študentje Fura Bay College'a v Freetownu organizirali proteste proti takrat enopartijskem režimu predsednika Shaka Stevensa. V protestih so se študentom pridružile množice nezaposlenih mladih iz vzhodnega dela Freetowna, ki še danes velja za revnejši del prestolnice. V brutalno zatrtih protestih je takrat umrlo več kot 200 ljudi. Naslednja točka v zgodovini, ki so jo predvsem mladi dojemali kot svojo revolucijo spreminjanja tradicionalnih družbenih struktur, je državljanska vojna, ki se je odvijala med leti 1991 in 2002. V obdobju med vojno je prvič viden vpliv ameriškega gangsta repa na delovanje mladih, predvsem tistih, ki so aktivno sodelovali v vojni. V času po vojni, ko se je odprlo navidezno okno novih priložnosti in obdobja, v katerem bi moralo priti do sprememb, je hip-hop predstavljal način, da mladi izrazijo svoje želje, poglede in kritike do obstoječega političnega establishmenta. Višek kritične družbene angažiranosti mladih se je zgodil pred prvimi volitvami po vojni leta 2007. Obdobje po volitvah, ko se za večino ljudi, kljub velikim obljubam politike, stvari niso spremenile, pa je zaznamoval totalen zaton kritičnosti v glasbi. O tem, zakaj je prišlo do tega, bomo govorili v nadaljevanju oddaje. Najprej se bomo posvetili temu, kaj pomeni biti mlad. O tem, kaj v sieraleonski družbi pomeni kategorija mladosti, smo govorili z Bojmo Takarjem, DJ-jem, aktivistom ter raziskovalcem glasb v Sierra Leone.
Well, the category of youth is defined as like a social position. And what I mean by that is that how in like, you know, European and American and countries, there is like class difference, separation between working class, you know, middle class, upper class, elite, oligarchy, these kind of things. Well, in Sierra Leone, what the class difference is an idea of adulthood versus youth. And adulthood, and the reason why this came about is because in Sierra Leone, the spiritual and social organization is organized in a way where elders are the leaders of society, right? Because it is a society that worships ancestors. And so the elders, logically, are closest to the ancestors. And so, therefore, the hierarchy works that way, right? And so this is in the traditional society, supposedly pre-colonial. This is how society was organized. So what happened was, during the colonial time, when the British came in to try to install some kind of a Western-based state, what they did was they used the traditional systems of chief and elder kind of positioning to allocate positions within the colonial administration, right? And this formed the basis of the state, of the modern state in Sierra Leone as well, where youth and adulthood have become this thing that determine, you know, social mobility. And social mobility is determined by one coming of age, so to speak. So there's all these things built in, like the secret societies and all these things that we know about, that they are built within the system of age-based kind of hierarchy.
Zakaj je kategorija mladih v državi predvsem urbani fenomen, nadaljuje Mats Utas, kulturni antropolog iz Nordic Africa Institute.
It's very much a category, an urban category from the beginning, where young people with and then abroad, the broad idea of being young, when they moved into, from the beginning, to Freetown and to urban centers, and thus they were not following what would be the ordinary path towards adulthood. And so they could be in a city and for a long period of time not doing what tradition is saying that you should start to farm, you should have your family, you should construct your house, etc. So it's really an urban category. And even today, it's like youth, I mean, if you talk about the problem of youth, then it's much less pronounced in the rural areas.
Ker v Sierra Leone znotraj obstoječih družbenih struktur vlada tako imenovani big man sistem, v katerem kategorija mladih nima nikakršne vrednosti, biti mlad avtomatično pomeni biti marginaliziran. Hkrati so mladi za voljo tega, da bi nekoč v prihodnosti vendarle dobili možnost, da iz brezglasnih fantov in punc postanejo odrasli, prisiljeni, da se pokorijo sistemu zaščitništva odraslih s finančnim in političnim vplivom.
So it's very much a category of people who do not have an adult voice, and who are thus more being used by adults, or what I often, I mean, I try to describe as big men and others in Sierra Leone also, so people of a political or economic standing who can use these groups for whatever purpose they want. And the young people on their turn, they are trying to cling on to these big men because they are the ones who will give them or provide them with something in the direct sense now, or also, but also for the future. Maybe a big man will not give you something today, but in the future, hopefully, he or she will be able to give you a position or something that can make you establish yourself as a full human being or as an adult.
Nadaljuje Bojma Takar.
So the way politics functions is, I made a joke with actually an artist the other a few weeks back, saying that in the Western world, everything, the normal way of functioning is in like the formal society, right? You know, bureaucracy, you know, like laws, courts, justice, these kind of things, right? In Sierra Leone, the normal way of functioning is in the informal society. And the way that that's organized is through these age-based hierarchies. And so the way that society is organized is in patronage systems, right? And so older people take care of younger people, and in turn, older people gain the support of the younger people, the younger masses, right? And so this is how politics comes up. And this is how you have kind of like big man politics coming up, because you have patronage systems where the eldest are expected to take care of the younger. But imagine if you erase age out of that equation and call it a social category, well, then the rich are expected to take care of the poor. And the poor will support the rich. You know, that's why it starts to look funny, that, like, the inequality starts to look funny, because why don't the poor people revolt? Well, the poor people do revolt. And that's why you see this youth war in Sierra Leone.
Na že prej omenjene študentske proteste iz leta 1977, ki predstavljajo prvi upor proti tradicionalnim vladajočim strukturam v državi, je močno vplival val pan-afrikanizma ter glasba Boba Marleya. V državljanski vojni, ki so jo mladi kljub temu, da so bili v njej izkoriščeni, doživljali kot lastno revolucijo in boj za svoj prostor znotraj big man sistema, pa so se začeli obračati na ter identificirati z ameriško gangsta rap glasbo ter njeno estetiko.
So to begin with, most young people would then say that it's they would who participated in the war would say that that this was a youth revolution, that they turned society upside down, and the people, youth without power, then were then trying to they forced their way into central power of the country. In reality, one can say that this didn't really happen, because the leaders of the rebel movement or of the other militias, in reality, much more catered into becoming adults for themselves, or being adults already, and they were connected to people who were already important in society and certainly adults. But if you keep in mind that these young people, they felt it was a youth revolution, then to them, music like the music of Tupac really worked into and fitted with their visions of what they wanted to accomplish, and also the situation that they felt they were in. So the outsiderness, the marginality, the importance of the force of being semi-criminal, semi-illicit, and so on. It really fitted with the mindset and the situation that these young people were in. So, it spoke really well with the young people who participated in the war.
Bolj podrobno nam vlogo hip-hopa v Sierra Leonski državljanski vojni pojasni Bojma Taker.
During the war, there was multiple things happening with hip-hop. So first of all, it was also very much a way of expressing one's individuality and belonging in a globalizing world, right? Media savviness, they were very much aware of images from the outside. Rambo was a popular figure, as well as Tupac. And Tupac's lyrics were really kind of connected with these young soldiers, because he talks about being a sensitive thug. He's a victim, yet he's a perpetrator. You know, it's Tupac's conflicted identity that really connected with some of these guys. But at the same time, not only did they connect with Tupac as a figure, as a role model, so to speak, or as a kind of idol or icon, but also it was served by the leaders of the rebel armies as a means of strategy, right, and during warfare. So these young West African men in a former British colony who speak a certain way, like with a more British influenced accent, you know, have a more kind of society based on elder structures, and they're adopting kind of new Americanized ways of acting. Well, this becomes a uniform for the soldiers, right? And what it did, there's a very interesting phenomenon where they call fearful yourself, where they would adopt, like, even a Liberian accent. They would grow their hair into dreadlocks. They would take on a Western aspect to scare off villagers. And so they wouldn't receive, so they're like, oh, those are the really crazy Americanized boys or Liberianized boys, because Liberia was the American colony, right? So So there was this association of a fear with hip hop that was used in battle to scare off villagers and not have to meet resistance when they were taking over a village. So there's a whole range of what was happening, and hip hop was just really used as a tool in multiple ways, shapes, and forms. Even during the peace process, when Biggie and Tupac, you know, were trying to make peace, they became symbols of the peace process in Sierra Leone, you know, which is really interesting. Yeah. Ballad of a dead soldier. Cause it's the ballad of a dead soldier. This is the ballad of a dead soldier. Compare the ballad of a dead soldier. The plan to take command of the whole family, though underhanded, to be the man that was planned on my road dogs. Official mob niggas love to act up. The first to bomb when we rob niggas, I could be lost in my own mind. To be the boss, only thoughts gripping chrome knives. Niggas get tossed up, war scars, battlefield memories. Swore, saw the devil in my empty glass of Hennessy. Talking to a nigga on the tight links. Screaming, fuck the police as I ride through the night streets. Little child running wild, towards danger. What's the cause? Don't be alarmed after all strangers. Maybe I'm a madman, a pistol grabbing nigga, unleash the sandman. Promise a merciless retaliation. Nothing is colder. Close your eyes. Hear the ballad of a dead soldier.
Love for life, I will be.
This is the ballad of a dead soldier.
Life for crime, I will be.
Close your eyes. Hear the ballad of a dead soldier.
You play the game you play to win.
This is the ballad of a dead soldier.
Crazy world full of sin.
Close your eyes. Completely lost. Revenge at all costs. Payback's a bitch. Switch now to tricks. Never to be heard of. A single witness screaming bloody murder, murder. Blast, tell me, homie, what you see now? A blind man in a dead body. I'm ready to leave town and get my cash though. Hook up with Castro, homie, at the blast from the task force. Stupid coppers tried to play us out. Never that. They took my money and my stash. Time to get them back. I put my secret arrival. 2 Block 4 5. Time for survival. Death to my rivals. Tell me what you want, Lord. Nobody left after the death of a drug lord. The situation's critical. Nothing is colder than hear the ballad of a dead soldier.
Love for life, I will be.
This is the ballad of a dead soldier.
Life for crime, I will be.
Close your eyes and hear the ballad of a dead soldier.
Play the game you play to win.
This is the ballad of a dead soldier.
Crazy world full of sin.
Close your eyes and hear the ballad of a dead soldier. Be a coward, put your hands to the moon. When my Glocks rang out, the niggas came out, boom. Who wanna see me in the challenge? So merciless, some terrifying niggas in my ballads. Do you feel me? Cop on a cop of time. One day I'll be the dawn. Until then, remain strong. My only fear of death is reincarnation. Busting at my adversaries like a mental patient. To all my niggas facing 60 years, shedding tattoo tears. Another suicidal on the tier, taking private planes, trying to survive the game. For all my homies that'll never be alive again. Only promise us is death, nigga. Take a breath, could be the last one left, nigga. It's real now. Feeling the fantasize. Ain't nothing colder. Listen, you can hear it. The ballad of a dead soldier.
Love for life, I will be.
It's just the ballad of a dead soldier.
Life for crime, I will.
Close your eyes. Hear the ballad of a dead soldier.
Play the game you play to win.
This is the ballad of a dead soldier.
Crazy world full of.
Close your eyes and hear the ballad of a dead soldier. Let's go out to Kato. Mental.
This is the ballad. All the niggas that can pass away. Close your eyes,
Geronimo.
Ballad of a dead soldier.
Say, all the down ass riders, all the niggas that put it down, all the soldiers, all the niggas that go through that day to day struggle.
This is the ballad of a dead soldier.
All the niggas that passed on, all the niggas with ambition and money in their heart, all the niggas that want some and that don't take none.
This is the ballad of a dead soldier.
The police are so scared of us. Oh, the feds, they aware of us. They wanna see us dead. They got pictures of a nigga head.
Ballad of a dead soldier.
Tryna see me in chains. Shit, the niggas will never breathe again. Before they put me in cell, they'll see me in hell.
Cause it's the ballad of a dead soldier.
Got my pistols cocked. Run the whole motherfucking block. Fuck the cops. The police, we run these streets, nigga.
Ain't heard the ballad of a dead soldier.
These niggas can't see me. Half the world wanna be me. Multi-millionaire. Shit. It ain't fair, but nigga,
you know, it's the ballad of a dead soldier.
Hip-hop je po koncu vojne znotraj političnega in družbenega prostora v državi vedno močnejša sila. Mednarodna skupnost je s svojimi finančnimi vložki po koncu vojne omogočila, da je začela cveteti lokalna glasbena scena. Vloga hip-hopa v tem obdobju je bila dvojna. Ljudje so zaradi dogajanja med vojno izgubili zaupanje v politiko ter medije. Največji vpliv so imeli lokalni hip-hop umetniki, kot sta Cao De Nero in L.A.G. Ti so svojimi besedili kritizirali oblast ter podajali mnenja o tem, kako bi morala delovati družba v državi, še posebej kakšno vlogo bi morali igrati mladi. Druga vloga, ki jo je igral hip-hop v tem obdobju, je bila vezana na estetiko. Med državljansko vojno se je v glavno mesto države, Freetown, zaradi bega pred nasiljem na podeželju zateklo več kot milijon ljudi. Večina jih je po vojni v mestu tudi ostala. Mnogi mladi so se tako zaradi pomankanja tradicionalnih struktur, ki so delovale na podeželju, začeli ustvarjati in ustanavljati svoje lastne mikroskupnosti in se zgledovati po različnih reperskih krujih ter njihovem delovanju.
Well, if you think, okay, so that's really important. So if we want to say that the United States is a major factor in the decisions of like democracy, right? The imposition of democracy in countries. And so what is the other thing that always accompanies U.S. diplomacy is always the cultural and creative side of the underclass, which is the promise of American democracy, right? That it's freedom of speech, that doesn't matter what background you're from, you can be heard, but that's also a lie, right? So what happens is in a place like Sierra Leone, the promises of democracy of hip-hop, which comes from the United States, which is the quote-unquote perfect democracy, become the perfect channel for them to express their belonging, right? That says, well, I'm shut out, and especially gangster rap, which is all about being shut out from the mainstream, it becomes this perfect, and gangster culture becomes this perfect way to organize. Now, on top of that, it also becomes a network outside of, you know, the mainstream support system, outside of patronage systems, right? So you have a bunch of, like, teenage boys who don't have parents around. Nobody's taking care of them. They don't have a patron. So they organize themselves into collectives. And they can be organized from everything around, you know, speak the same language to we're both Okada riders, we both do this kind of same trade, or it can be based around hip-hop crews. And that's what happened in a lot of situations in Freetown, is that people started modeling their loose networks of support on American gangster culture.
Okoli najbolj popularnih lokalnih reperskih umetnikov so se v Freetownu začela rojevati družbena gibanja, ki so oponašala nasilje, ki se je dogajalo med reperskimi kruji v Združenih državah Amerike. S popadi in nasiljem so mladi hoteli dokazati, da imajo močan potencial na širše družbeno vplivanje in da če hočejo, lahko zrušijo mir, ki je vlada v državi. Hkrati pa so na višku tega obdobja svojo moč nad mladimi pokazali tudi politiki. In sicer s tem, da so z denarjem in obljubah pomoči in vplivu kupili najbolj popularne reperje na takratni glasbeni sceni in s čemer so ponovno dobili nadzor nad mladimi. Več o tem Mats Utas.
It's interesting to see how at the point after the war, then music became extremely important. I would say that in maybe in 2005, which was really the height of the music boom in Sierra Leone, up to 70-80% of the music played on the radio stations was Sierra Leone music, which is quite extreme. I mean, it's not something that you would see in many countries of the world where it's like where music comes from elsewhere. And here it's like part of the music, and especially from the beginnings, directly from the war, after the war, then what some people would call conscious music, that was about the struggle for young people and the problems with corrupt politicians and greedy businessmen and so on, that this was the most important music. And here formed social movements around that. People would not generally. They wouldn't really trust news media because that was often connected to politicians, and they were a bit, so they were a bit conscious about that. But instead, they really believed in what the musicians were singing, and so here formed a whole social movement of young people who were really running after these musicians and who were rallying around them and really believed in them. And Caudinero was then one of the big ones. He wasn't living in Sierra Leone, but lived in the U.S. and came once in a while. And he was part of what is the Black Leo crew, and there were several artists around that also. And his music was very much about how unjust life was in Freetown, and that has gradually transformed. And later on, then came Large or L.A.J., who then started to contest Caudinero on the scene, and he formed, or people formed around him, the Red Flag Movement. So then you started a virtual war between Black Leo and the Red Flag Movement. And I've been really close to the people in Black Leo, and I really been trying to advise them of not starting this war or continuing it, but it was quite difficult. But because they were saying that this is something that we can't do, it's the people we can't deal with, it's people, it's the followers who are doing this, and they certainly mimicked the situation in the U.S. where they thought there should be a rap war between, and also of course not the U.S. everywhere, but it's like whatever they have heard about Notorious B.I.G., Biggie Small, about all these musicians around Tupac and so on. So they started a virtual war, and it ended up in a really bad way, where Large actually had to defend himself, and he was in a shooting incident on the beach, which was quite absurd. But these movements were then, I mean, they were followers, and they that created a lot of problems. And then on the other hand, like, both Black Leo and the Red Flag are connected to politicians, and they have been used by politicians, and they let themselves be used because that's one of the few ways that they can get power and access to money.
O tem, kakšne so posledice tega, ko politika uspe kupiti glasbenike, in kako iz besedil, ki govorijo o problemih, s katerimi se soočajo mladi, ter besedil o uporu, preidemo na besedila, ki govorijo o ženskah, denarju, avtomobilih ter ostalih radostih glasbenega potrošništva in kapitalizma, ter kakšen vpliv ima to na dojemanje mladih o tem, kaj pomeni biti uspešen, nadaljuje Mats Utas.
This conscious music that conscious music scene that I was very much part of when I was there was, I think, really it was a really important social movement, and that is disappearing. And I think it started with the 2007 elections, when some of the most popular artists were more or less bought by politicians or in the open, which meant it was no longer a counterculture where they tried to do something else, but they became then part of this elite movement. And in that way, I think that's something that people then see. And so it's no longer necessary, or it's no longer possible for big artists to play on this counter-political game. But instead, they do like most of the Nigerians do, and it's like most of the Nigerian rappers and so on, that they play with the bling. And of course, bling has always been part of this culture, but then it's been taken over by that. It's like you need big cars, and you need to show the money, and you need to have pretty women around you, and then it's in a way a boat movement, and it's still important for young people. But I think so when Caudinero is singing something about the real predicaments of people in the streets, then he's reaching out. After some time, if he's showing too much bling, then he's going to lose part of that allure for people. Of course, others would say that, oh, he's now a big man, and he accomplished what he wanted. so we should follow his footprints. But in reality, that's going to happen for most of them.
Bojma Tucker nadaljuje o hip-hopu, ki poveličuje potrošništvo in kako vse to odseva trende o lokalni in globalni pripadnosti mladih v Sierra Leone.
Aspirational music. And aspirational music is actually, I think, a global genre. You can find it in Ghana, you can find it in Nigeria, you find it in Jamaica, you find it in Brazil, right? And this is music that kind of participates in global capitalism and global consumerism in a way to claim kind of contestation and belonging, to contest, you know, the kind of subaltern belonging in local and global society. You know, we have a world where, you know, even up in Kailaung, kids can access the latest Jay-Z video, you know? And so they're going to see this rags to riches story of Jay-Z. They're going to want to have, you know, participate in this because to them, this is what the rest of the world is participating in. And so they mimic this, and their mimicking is actually a claim to belonging is actually, it's not really mimicking. It's saying we belong and this is how we belong. And so that's what the aspirational music is. Consumerism, it's girls, it's party, it's being able to buy drinks, you know, for your friends, which is the, kind of the traits of the big man, right, at the same time. So there's an interesting kind of, you know, conglomeration there between global belonging and local belonging within this music, that at the same time they're displaying big man kind of properties, they're also participating in global consumerist culture.
Hip-hop v Sierra Leone ostaja najbolj popularna glasba. Kako trenutna besedila in estetika povezana s hip-hopom kažejo na spodletev politični projekt mladih, s katerim so si skušali izboriti bolj viden in vpliven prostor znotraj Sierra Leonske družbe, ter kako big man sistem ostaja modus operandi v državi, zaključi Mats Utas.
I think after the war, people really felt that there was a window of opportunity of doing something new, of real change, where people would be included, a larger part of the society of the population would be included in the state project in creating possibilities for the future, and then after some time they realized that this opportunity wasn't really there. Everything would look the same way. And I think symbolically then when the musicians in more and more obviously got bought by the politicians, then this whole consciousness disappeared. And there was no point of trying to fool someone that we can really do change. But instead, it's much better to play as always, trying to be a big man, and try to relate to those political and economic big men that you have, and not pretend to do something else. So I think that was an opening that never materialized in that way, and then it became problematic. From an individual perspective, so it's much better to play it safe and pretend to be something that you might not be, but at least that you what you try to reach up to.
Zeitgeist je pripravila Anuša.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, je pa te samo stane, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne? Tam dol so vrata, pa tre vrata, ne? In jaz pridem tam, pa prema vrata, pa ne vidiš. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna eno žvo.
Res.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in to je siv, ne ta nemški občaj, črn pa to ne, prav tista prava volk, ne, krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiju Študent.